Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, this is how, not how my morning started, but once I came out of a room in my house where talking with the Lord in the morning and come out and saw my wife, and first thing she said to me, now the Packers play at noon, and by the way, good morning. I'm kidding. She didn't quite do it like that, but she was reminding me. And I said, well, yeah, but what time do the Patriots play? No, I'm kidding. I didn't say that to her. Ooh, wow, rough crowd. Wow. I asked my son-in-law, I said, so, you know, what time do you, your Vikings play? He goes, it don't matter. Hey, that's, I'm just quoting him. Yeah, anyhow. Glad you're here. Want to spend a few moments in the scripture this morning. And we're going to look at the letter that Paul wrote to the churches in Rome. And it wasn't just one church in Rome of believers in Christ. There were several churches at the time, and he was writing a letter to them. And I want us to look at what he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so this will be a little bit of an overview, but looking at one of the main purposes that he wrote this letter. And so in Rome at that time, there were many Jewish people who lived in Rome. And some of them became believers, or Messianic, what we might call today Messianic Jews, Jewish people who believed in Jesus, believed in the Christ that he came, that Jesus is the Son of God. And then, of course, there were Jews who rejected Jesus, that he was not the Christ, he was not the Messiah. And, of course, the gospel, you know, playing out in a person who believes in Jesus, you know, does what it does. And so, as there were Jewish believers in Christ there, you know, the evidence of their faith in Christ starts to, you know, seep out and begin to impact their community and people around them. And so now, people that they would classify as heathens or pagans or Gentiles, non-Jewish people, Romans themselves, they were impacted by the gospel, and some of them started to put faith in Christ as their Savior. And so now you've got churches that were blending together Jewish believers in Christ and Gentile believers in Christ, and they were attending the same gatherings, or we'll just use the term church this morning, and they were attending the same churches. Well, news reached Paul that something began to happen that was creating division and ruining some of the testimony of followers of Christ, and that a previous prejudice was being carried over into the church. When I say previous prejudice, a previous prejudice before they became followers of Christ in some of the Jewish believers. And so what happened is the Gentiles were starting to feel like they were being treated differently and not included in some of the benefits and privileges of being a part of the gathering as followers of Christ, because some of the Jewish believers started to impose upon them that they had to do a particular work to really be accepted into salvation and into the household of God. Now you have to remember, the Jewish believers, before they were believers in Christ, they were Jewish and stay Jewish, and Jewish customs and Jewish beliefs. And one of the things that was required by law is that male individuals had to be circumcised. Well, now that they become believers in Christ, they were adding to their newfound faith in Christ, they were adding previous prejudices, like if you are a Gentile and believe Christ, you have to be circumcised to really be saved. And they started to put demands on the Gentile believers as if they had to jump through some work, some hoop to be saved. Well, Paul hears about this. And he says, this is not the teaching of Jesus. And so he begins to write this letter. And one of the main emphasis of this letter, and I want us to hear this, is that we are saved by faith apart from works of the law. That's what it says in Romans chapter 3, verse 28, that we are saved by faith apart from works of the law. In other words, for you and I to experience salvation, it is by faith alone that we become recipients of what Jesus purchased for us on the cross in paying for our sins. There is no work. No work to get into heaven. You see, and you think, well, yeah, most of us understand that. I want you to know that things haven't changed a lot. There are still preachers, pastors, priests, etc., churches, denominations that are still preaching works to get to heaven. Not just faith. Faith, plus you got to do some stuff on the list. And Paul says that is not true. He writes here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we are saved by faith alone, not by works. You see, it's not like, on that day, you're standing before God and they bring out all the books of your life, all the stuff you said and did and didn't do and all of that, and they bring out the big scale. And they say, okay, bring over all the pages that have all the good works. Woohoo! And they bring out this stack. All for you, it's probably like this. They probably put on a scale and boom! Ho-ho, and you're looking, woohoo, pretty hopeful. Then they said, okay, bring all the other stuff. Put it on this side. We're sorry. You didn't make it. So you and I, we've all broken the law. Smile at the person next to you and say, I really like you, but you're guilty. Yeah. Listen, we're all guilty of breaking the law. We've all sinned. So the reality is, because salvation is not based on works, it's not like, did we do more good or did we do more bad? And, kind of hope we make it. I want to do a bunch of good things so, God receives me into heaven. Because, we have an interest in eternity. We believe in heaven and hell and being with God or being apart from God. We kind of say, I'd like to, experience salvation. But we know ourselves, and we've got this history. And we know the stuff still that churns maybe underneath what we present to people that's not appropriate for a person who believes in Christ. Well, how do we walk through this life and be assured that we are living a triumphant Christian life, a life that we read in Scripture that we're supposed to be overcoming? And we come together, we go, yeah, I'm overcoming, but underneath, there's moments where we don't feel so assured because of what we've done or what we said or decisions we made, living outside the bounds of Scripture. And I want us to look not only that Paul is correcting theology here and saying, you know what? There is no works that you add to salvation. It is by faith alone, period. Now, there's the other extreme that's also taught, that once you believe and put faith in Christ, now you can live however you want. Well, I believe in Jesus, so I can just go live how I want. Well, James writes, and there's other places that the Scripture is conveyed, this principle is conveyed, that, you know what? Our works should justify or prove what we believe or prove our faith. In other words, we don't do good works to get into heaven, but good works we do as a result of our faith in Christ, that we believe in Him, but not just in an idea, or not just say the prayer once, Or, yeah, I believe in God, but I'm not going to really follow him. I'm going to live how I want still. You see, previous prejudices don't carry over into a new salvation. Previous prejudice before Christ, we kind of called the shots, kind of lived how we wanted, made our own decisions, etc., etc. And now we've come to faith in Christ. We believe in him. We don't get to carry out the old prejudices in our life. Behold, all things are becoming new. The old has passed away. He writes in the letter to the church in Corinth. And so Paul is writing this letter to bring right theology to the church in Rome and say, no, there's no works. When a Gentile puts their faith in Christ for salvation, they don't have to jump through any hoops, regulations, or laws that the Jews maybe did prior to Christ. In other words, you Gentile men, stop sweating it. You don't have to be circumcised to go to heaven. There's no outward work. You see, we put faith in Christ and we are justified by our faith. And our faith is justified by the change that happens in our life because of this faith, that we begin to live different, talk different, make our decisions different, all in accordance with God's word and God's will and God's way. You see, a marvelous thing happens when Christ embraced the cross. There was this marvelous change, this transaction that happened, in that he took upon him, the scripture says, he took upon him the sins of the world, sins of humanity. That's what he did on the cross. He did the work. He wasn't guilty, but he took upon himself the sins, my sin, yours. And so here's this transaction. He takes our sin, and he gives in exchange of our sin is he gives to you righteousness. Rightness, right relationship with God. As if now you can have peace of mind that you, as if you didn't do anything wrong. You see, I watch previous prejudices hang on to our lives. What we did before Christ, we ask forgiveness. He says he forgives us, and we still live under the influence of some of our shame. That we live under the influence that we don't really live free in Christ. It's like he opened the prison door, and we are to go free because he is paying the punishment of our sin and crime, and he gives to us righteousness. Gates open, jail doors open, but we choose to continue to live behind the bars. We're supposed to walk out and be free. Free from the consequence of what we've done that would entitle us to death. Jesus did it. We go free. And it's all because his Father, our Father in heaven, loved you. I want to tell you something. If you struggle with condemnation, we're going to talk about it in a second. Would you please learn to let God love you? I mean, love you. It's tough to love somebody when they keep rejecting it. You ever had somebody like that in your life? So disheartening. All you are is loving them, caring for them. He's made a way for you and I to escape what we were born into, the things we've done, the things we've said, the attitude we carried, by simply believing that Jesus did the work on the cross for us and that we are forgiven and free. And we didn't deserve it, and we didn't have to work for it. I know in many parts of the world, and certainly this part of the world, we're performance-driven. We got to work to get approved. We grow up in our home doing sports, and if we play good, we get approval. And so this starts to track a pattern in our outlook in life. And then when we don't do good, we don't get the same approval. And so it carries over, this prejudice, into this redemptive work of Christ. We put our faith in Him, we become a follower of His, and yet we're walking under the influence and the old ideology that He has set us free from. I want you to know that God cares about you, that He sent His only Son. And didn't just send His only Son, but His only Son said, I'm going to take all your crime, all your filth, I'm going to pay for it. And here, I'm going to give you the righteousness and the rightness that the Father looked upon me with when I had it, but I'm giving it to you. And so now He looks upon you who believe, have faith, and apply that righteousness to your life. This is what Paul's writing about to the Romans, because there was a division in the church about adding works to salvation. Bad theology. Not at all what God teaches in His Word. I don't care where you heard it from, who you heard it from, how respectable they were. If they are teaching you works for salvation, I'm telling you that is not the gospel. It's not the teaching of Jesus. It's not the Spirit of the Lord. It's about faith in Him and having faith enough that when we have faith in Him, it begins to transform our life, that our life begins to spill out and show that we are not who we were, that we now live differently because we follow Christ. Those works are showing up to show that we believe. The works are not there so we get into heaven. The works justify and show what a person believes. Not doing works to try to get in. And so Paul writes about this because this is a doctrine of salvation. This is the foundation. And he doesn't want anybody deceived, and he doesn't want false teachers infiltrating the church and harming people who are under the oppressive work of works. I mean, it's what Jesus talked to the Pharisees about. He said, listen, there are people here who are sincerely trying to get into heaven. And you are shutting up heaven to them because you burden them and overwhelm them with all of your laws. Because none of us can live up to it. But it's what the Pharisees wanted. I mean, they were spiritual leaders. They had a special relationship with God. They walked around in their fancy robes. They had the title. They obeyed some laws. And other people couldn't live up to some of the laws. And so, therefore, they weren't good enough. And they had to do certain things. And they had to jump through hoops. And they couldn't make it. And so the religious leaders, they portrayed like they were holy. And it fed their egos and their pride and their arrogance and their position, which they didn't want to lose with the people. It's amazing how corrupt the heart of a human is, even inside the house of God. And Jesus says, you got wickedness in you. Underneath all the outward stuff, there's wickedness in you. He preached against all of those works, and He administered grace and mercy that people would be touched by it and have faith in Him. I want to... It wasn't just a correction of this theology. He gives to us in the book of Romans some things that, boy, you know, you can watch this online in a few days, a podcast, play and pause, but if you have paper with you and a pencil or pen, I'm just saying there may be a couple things here that you want to write down and just remember. And if you don't have paper with you, man, take an offering envelope, rip the thing open, and I know it's going to have flaps hanging out and everything else, but you can deal with that later, and you take on the inside and just start writing. Okay, I want to share with you a couple of things that come out of the book of Romans and the way for you and I to follow, to live this triumphant life, this overcoming life that he talks about in this letter. The first thing is that he writes about for us to live this triumphant life is that you and I have to be grounded in His Word. Listen, there's a lot of nice sayings that can be motivational or things that sound good to us. And it's not like the person's trying to harm us or anything like that. But, you know, it's phrases that we hear and influence our life and start to influence our attitude. And some of them sound good, but some of them, they're just not correct. I mean, they're not on the same level as Scripture. And we add this stuff to our life, and it gets us a little off the mark. For, you know, it's simple things like this. You know, God helps those who help themselves. Now, the principle of that is, hey, if you take some initiative and you work and do something, God's going to bless you. Well, there's some truth in that, but that is, you know, that starts to influence our thinking. Well, my grandpa told me this, and so I liked him, and I was his favorite, and we went fishing together, and you have all this sentiment, and you respect grandpa, and so you use the saying that he says, whatever the saying is, and it begins to become part of the philosophy of your life. And it's not like grandpa tried to hurt you or deceive you, but God helps those who help themselves that isn't really in the pages of Scripture. God helps those who trust Him. That's in Scripture. So that's different than God helps those who help themselves. See, that's different. We've got to be grounded in the Word because some philosophy or some well-meaning Christian said something or some pastor said something or somebody said something and, you know, we just take it and it starts to run with us and it can get us a little off the mark all the way to the point of, listen, you're supposed to be a believer in Jesus, glad you believe in Jesus, but, you know, now you got to do this and do this and do this and do this and do this so that you can make it into heaven. Those all sound good, but those are things that are supposed to come after our life as a result of our faith. Not be attached to our faith in salvation that we can get in. We're supposed to be grounded in the Word so that when we face something, we can remember a Scripture and we can say it to ourselves and we can preach to ourselves and we can fight against the thoughts that come in the way of doubt or worry or anxiety because we're grounded in the Word and therefore we apply it and we know how to conduct ourselves and how to walk through life even in the unknown trials that we face. Because we're grounded in His Word. You want to be triumphant, victorious? There's Scriptures throughout the book of Romans and why he writes that we should be grounded in the Word. The second thing is that we need to learn and remember the work of Christ on the cross. It was His work. He did it because out of obedience to the Father and because of the love of God and the love of Christ for us. And we don't add anything to it. It was His work, not our work. And we get the message about following Christ, then we're to lay down our life, die to ourselves, live unto Christ. And this is the result of a faith that we put in Him, and it begins to transform us in who we are. We start to remember and know that principle of the cross and Christ and what that means for our life in the way of salvation and what it means in the way of calling and how we're supposed to live. Third thing's this, that a triumphant life is developed by testing, travailing, warfare, battles, hard times in this life. See, being grounded in the Word, remembering the work of Christ and salvation on the cross, how we're supposed to live. And understanding that when we become a believer, it doesn't mean that nothing, you know, from our perspective, isn't going to be challenging or go wrong, so to speak, in what we face and what we experience in this life. We have to understand that those things in our life serve a purpose of developing our faith through testing, through difficulty, through hard times, through the valleys, or whatever, however we refer to those hours of darkness, or where we feel like, you know, is God hearing my prayers, or has He left me alone, or, you know, when we get to those things, or why did this happen, and this is so hard, and I don't know what to do, and you see, all of those things, we have to remind as we're grounded in the Word, we will remember, we know the work of Christ on the cross and what He went through, and we're called to die to ourselves and live unto Christ, allow Christ to live in us, that when we look at the things we face in this life, we understand that they are there to develop me, to develop my faith. I mean, look at, we're trained this principle from early on. You go to school, you have a test. Why do you have a test? Why do they give you a test or a quiz or a pop quiz or whatever it is? Why do they make you write the report? So that you are challenged to find, they find out, do you really know? Do you know the material? And the test proves what you know. I mean, I remember getting some exams back, 86%. I had to check the name at the top to make sure it was mine. I thought 86%, I'm doing pretty good. I remember those moments. Thought they turned the numbers around on me. A test proves. Listen, the tests of this life we walk through, we go through, they're not supposed to rob us of our faith. Anxiety isn't supposed to rob us of our faith. Fear isn't supposed to rob us of our faith. All of the testing is to produce a greater faith when we get through it. That's being grounded in the Word and understanding what testings and trials and travailing and warfare and battles are all about. It's not God trying to ruin our good time. When we're grounded in the Word, we understand that principle. Romans chapter 5, listen to this. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to be at peace? Believe in Christ, and we are justified by our faith, and the peace of God will reign in us through the work of Christ on the cross. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our, get this, sufferings. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Oh, so to experience this hope, I got to go through the challenge prior to the hope. The difficulty that shows up that produces hope through endurance and perseverance and the character change in the Holy Spirit who has been given to us to be our helper. You see, when we understand that it all started with faith rather than works, all these resources and means come to our life and teaches us how to live and weather all of this and get through it and trust Him without losing faith. I don't know how many of you in this room struggle with condemnation, but I want you to clue into the next few minutes at least. Have you ever... And this is kind of the mindset that we've got to try to grasp after we put faith in Christ and ground it in His Word and understand the work of the cross, is that have you ever had a conflict show up? And I'm talking in the purest form, not like in your heart you're trying to convince yourself or convince somebody else, but in your heart of hearts you knew that this time you didn't do anything wrong. Some conflict shows up and or with somebody, it's like, I really didn't do anything wrong. I'm not covering it up. I'm not lying. I'm not trying to, you know, kid myself or somebody else. In my heart, I had no malice, no anything. I didn't feel like I handled anything wrong. I just really didn't do anything wrong. I mean, you feel bad about the conflict or whatever misunderstanding, but in your heart of hearts, it's like, you know, can you remember that one time that maybe there was a moment of that kind of purity in you? That one time where you just really didn't do anything wrong. I'm talking about me. You probably have a whole stack of those you never did anything wrong. But that what, and you're like, put your head on the pillow at night, your conscience is clear, you're at peace, you're free, you're good, you're hopeful, you're joyful, there's no guilt, there's no condemnation, there's not putting the head on the pillow and going, oh, I know I didn't do that right. Oh, I messed that up. I didn't handle that right. I didn't say that right. I had that little attitude in me, and well, I think they deserve it. Ah, they don't deserve it. That's not being great, you know. And we go through and we carry this guilt and condemnation. I want you to remember the moment where you put your head down on that one occasion, as pure comes, that brief moment, that time, that you just didn't do anything wrong. And how free and how peaceful you are. That is the kind of mentality, outlook, and attitude we should be having when we recognize that Christ took our sin and he gives to us righteousness as if we didn't do anything wrong, and that's how the Father looks upon us. That's the kind of freedom that he's talking about here. Not living under the influence of the past. I mean, hey, man, we've all got one. There's things back here, I wish I'd have never said or done or decision I made, and it was wrong or it was full of Randy and what. Hey, listen, we've got all that stuff. The moment that I put faith in Christ and he gave me righteousness, that the Father would look upon me and see righteousness, that the salvation would come and a restoration between God and I. And there I could put my heart and mind at peace in his presence, not kidding myself, not justifying myself. I just simply believed. And Christ paid for me. Listen, Romans chapter 8, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For those who have faith in him, no condemnation. That stuff of the past, man, if we walk out of that cell, we've got to embrace his grace and mercy and forgiveness. It is gone. Your mind might remember it, but don't live under the influence, because now you're back in the cell. You're living as a prisoner when Christ has made it for you to be free. It would be like me getting so frustrated inside with my son working on a project and not using the right tools, in which I've provided for him the right tools. I wish you would just use the screwdriver instead of a butter knife. Right? I bought you the right tool so that this works. Instead of doing things your own way and not have... Listen, he's made a way for the cell door to be open and for us to walk out, that there is no condemnation for those who believe in Christ. Our faith has justified us. His blood shed paid for the sin. It's not me believing plus paying. I got to do this work. There's forgiveness. And remember, that faith brings a responsibility that we're supposed to follow him, and that now our life, things seep out so that signs in our life show that we believe in Christ Jesus. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill, lead, and lift us up above our sinful patterns. Part of this triumphant life and how we live. Allowing the Holy Spirit, who we just read a scripture, how he has given the Holy Spirit to us. The Holy Spirit help us lift ourselves up above our sinful patterns. Listen, Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. I didn't give you a screwdriver to use a butter knife. I didn't open the cell door so that you could stay in the cell. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Daddy God, our Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. That we are tested and we go through this, but understanding that we're his children. He loves us. Our life changes because of him. See, God never promised a trouble-free life, yet he has provided a certainty that we will be triumphant. I'm going to give you a verse here at the end of Romans. It's chapter 16, verse 20, and it says this. For those who love God, he works everything to your good. Romans 8, 28, chapter 16, this is played out. The God of all peace will crush under your feet Satan, and he will do it shortly. That's the end. That's near the end of the book. Here, the end of the letter. Write theology, tell you how to live this triumphant life, and remember, the end of the story is the God of all peace will crush Satan under your feet, and he will do it shortly. See, that allows us to walk into stressful circumstances in our life with Holy Spirit hope. Instead of walking into a stressful situation into our life, and I got to figure this out, and I got to do this, and what if they don't like this, and what if they like this, or how am I going to handle this, or this tragedy happened, and I don't know what to do, and we're panicking, we're full of anxiety, we're worrying, fear comes in, all this stuff. Oh, this happened again, not just another bad thing, I'm going to throw in the towel. No. We walk into a stressful circumstance into our life because we're grounded in the Word. We know his work on the cross. We know that there's been testings and travailings and trials that have developed a faith, and that we can walk into a stressful circumstance with Holy Spirit hope because of what he's done and because we believe in him. That he will, Romans 8:28, work everything to your good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. When we put faith in him, we answer that call to come and believe. He gives us salvation, but he also gives you purpose. And that purpose will be tested, but he's given us faith to withstand, to walk through it. Listen, this whole developing of our faith, this triumphant life, you know, having three daughters, initially I wanted two knights in shining armor to show up at our doorstep for them. But I learned something, changed my mind. I wanted knights showing up with dents in their armor, battle scars. Because it means that they have been tested by some things in their life and they've made it through far enough to show up to the doorstep of my house. I wanted them to go through some trials already. God knows that they're going to need some history of how to overcome if they're marrying my daughters. I wanted them tested a little bit by life, by their history. They didn't need to show up all polished. They needed to show up so that I could see that they knew how to make it through war, make it through tough times, go through them personal challenges, have developed their faith and their character. That they were grounded in the Word. That they know the work of Christ on the cross to the point that they would allow themselves to be developed by the testing of this life, and that they would not have their faith robbed by it, but rather proven by it. See, that's what Paul's writing It is by faith that you have been saved. This grace that God gives, justified by faith, not by works, but by that salvation and that belief, it changes the way we live to be triumphant. And how do we do it? This is what the book of Romans is about. The freedom that Christ has purchased for you and I, to empower us to live a victorious Christian life. Interesting thing is, in the middle of the battle, sometimes we don't feel so victorious. But remember, it's the middle of the battle. It's not over.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.